Here in Ezekiel 30, we have God's judgments pronounced upon Egypt and those who were supporting them. And in the context, the people were trusting in Egypt as their sort of last-minute saviour from Babylon. Ezekiel is already in exile with the first group of exiles who'd gone into Babylon, and yet Judah was still functioning as an independent state, and yet they were clearly about to be overrun totally by Babylon, and they were desperately looking to the likes of Egypt and Ethiopia to help them. And of course the idea is, no, Egypt also is going to be destroyed. But I want to read between the lines in this prophecy and to look at the implication that's throughout it, that actually God was hoping even for the repentance of Egypt. For example, verse 4, anguish is going to come upon Ethiopia and Egypt. Well, anguish is the word for birth pangs. And I think the idea is that life was to come out of this death, that out of the agony of judgment at the hand of the Babylonians, something new was to be brought forth. And the hope was, I think, that out of all this, Egypt and Ethiopia would repent. Verse 8, they shall know that I am Yahweh when I have set a fire in Egypt. What does it mean to know Yahweh? Well, the Hebraic sense of knowing is to have a relationship with. A man knows a woman, and lo and behold, in the Old Testament, a man knows a woman, and they have a baby. Doesn't mean that they went out for coffee together and whatever. It means that they had a relationship. They were in relationship, and they had a child. So to know Yahweh means to have a relationship with him. So this was, I would say, the divine hope, that Egypt and other surrounding nations would know Yahweh as a result of this judgment from the Babylonians. Well, when it says they shall know that I am Yahweh, that is not necessarily predictive, as you often have in the Old Testament particularly. God states a possible future. This is his desire, and yet doesn't necessarily mean it is to come true. Now, several times in Ezekiel 30 here, we read that God would set a fire in Egypt. And this is the phrase used, for example, in Leviticus 1:7 about putting fire on the altar. And I think the hint, and it is all just a hint, is that Egypt was to become, finally, an acceptable sacrifice through the fire of that Babylonian judgment. You have it again in verse 16, I will set a fire in Egypt, to put fire on the altar. Now, verse 19, again, thus will I execute judgments on Egypt, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. Well, of course, this alludes to what God did at the time of the Exodus. And again, those plagues upon Egypt were intended to elicit repentance, even of Pharaoh, I would argue. Now, they didn't. Well, Pharaoh didn't. And yet we know that a pretty large number of Egyptians and other Gentile people who were in Egypt at the time did in fact join with Israel and left Egypt through the Red Sea. So again, in these later judgments upon Egypt, there was this same hope that they shall know that I am Yahweh. The intention of God's judgments is sort of multifaceted, I suppose. It's multifactorial. It's not at all to be understood as an omnipotent God lashing out in anger because he has been offended. Rather, in those judgments, there is the hope that some will learn and repent and come to God. When his judgments are in the earth, then shall the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Verse 21, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It has not been bound up to apply healing medicines, to put a bandage to bind it, that it be strong to hold the sword. I think that suggests that God had worked to bring about the healing of Egypt after her first defeat by the Babylonians, but she didn't respond. the broken arm was not bound up. She did not accept the healing medicines. She did not accept a bandage to bind it up so that the broken arm might be strong again. Jeremiah 46:17 therefore says of Pharaoh, he has let the appointed time pass by. I think then that the first defeat of Egypt by the Babylonians was to give them a window of repentance, but they refused it. And therefore, verse 22, God says, I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and I will break both his arms, the strong arm and that which was broken. So then one arm had already been broken by the first Egyptian conflict with the Babylonians, and they ought to have repented, but, as Jeremiah 46 says, he let the appointed time pass by. And so because of that, God now breaks, as it were, Pharaoh's second arm, the arm that was still good, by the second defeat at the hands of the Babylonians. Then again, 26, I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, disperse them through the countries, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. Well, this is exactly the language that's used about the scattering and the dispersal of Judah. And yet, that was done in the hope that they would repent. Now, this didn't happen, and I think that's why perhaps Egypt was not literally scattered very much among the nations, nor dispersed through the countries, because God foresaw that they would not in fact know that I am Yahweh as a result of all that. So the upshot of all this is that God has an amazing hope for his people, both his own people, Israel and Judah, and also for those who are potentially his people, even in the world, represented here clearly by Egypt. The hopefulness of God is amazing, that he entertains this continual hope that some will repent. And how sad it is when so few do. And I'm not saying that we are so great and should congratulate ourselves on our great spirituality, not at all, but it is also true that we have responded, we have said yes to God in all our weakness, but we have done, and I believe that this therefore must be seen by God in the context of the vast majority refusing all the potentials he sets up, but the guy who lives in flat number 9 has said yes. Great, at least he's on the track. And the woman who lives in 42 Acacia Avenue or in, 63 Nevsky Prospekt, Corpus C, apartment number 82A, has said yes. And in the mass of humanity who have said no. Well, this must be significant to God. He must be thrilled that at least somebody has responded. He has a huge heart for people and for this world. The Lord Jesus, his son, died for the world's redemption. And yet it's a redemption refused, as it were, by the majority. And you see that, as I say, throughout this Ezekiel 30, with these implications of God's hope for Egypt, his hope that out of all this Babylonian judgment there would come repentance even from Egypt. It is absolutely wrong, therefore, to think that God was only interested in ethnic Jews or Hebrews at this time. He wasn't. He was looking for the world's repentance, as you see with his behaviour towards Nineveh.